Let me read a couple of passages. Both short. Feel free to turn to these. The first one is from Ephesians 4. And the second one will be in 1 Peter 4. But this first one, Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. Where Paul writes this. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter writes this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Before I was waylaid with a dreaded lurgy last week, thank you, Alan, incidentally, for standing in. Where's Alan? There he is. I'm looking forward to hearing that on the tape because I heard it was very good last week. But before I was waylaid, we'd started a short series called Heaven Calling, which is looking at the idea that every one of us has been called by God. Whatever our age or our background or our training or our culture or our nature, we've been called by God, called according to a specific purpose and for a specific plan. And that calling starts with a calling to be. Simply to be the person that God wants you to be. In fact, God wants you to be and calls you to be the person that he had in mind when he first thought you up. And typically, clearly that is not how we are now. We're pretty messed up from what God intended. But by the grace of God and by the power of his Spirit, habits can change. Patterns can be rewired. You don't have to be bitter or envious, or petty, or angry, or lustful, or greedy, or stubborn, or deceitful. You can become that person that God had in mind when he first thought you up, because that's what God calls us to be. Then last time we looked at the second aspect of our calling, which is the calling to belong. God calls us to belong to Jesus Christ, and therefore to belong to his family, which is the church. We don't exist as standalone Christians. We exist as part of a community. And that community is a vital part of our discipleship, our growth, our service, our identity, our support, and so on. And if you missed that session, then do have a listen on the website because it's really important. You cannot be what God purposed you to be without you doing your part in a church family. Without a local church, you are just a hand or a nose or a foot or whatever floating around on your own, which is a fairly unpleasant thought. And equally, the church cannot be what God purposed it to be without you doing your part in the church family, because every part of the church family is vitally important. Every person is incredibly valuable. So we're called to be, we're called to belong, and then finally out of that, we are called to serve. We're called to serve, we're called to do God's work, we're called to enter God's service. We're called to use whatever we have in the way of gifts, talents, brains, resources, time, energy, all gifts that we've received from him in the first place, to partner with him in a grand and glorious adventure that is far bigger than our own little lives, on our own little jobs, on our own little projects, on our own little lifestyles. We are called to be part with him in this adventure of bringing God's kingdom down here. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, bringing what's up there down here. That is part of your calling. Now, I suspect that these words serve and service and even servant are quite hard for us to get our heads around in the 21st century. If you've been around church circles for a while, I know they begin to get into the lingo that we use and we take for granted, but in what other context in 2019 do we talk about servants? I mean, that's really politically incorrect. And yet, when he writes to the church in Rome, Paul describes himself as a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. And his implication is not, as we would generally think today, that being described as a servant is terribly demeaning. His implication is that this is the most extraordinary privilege. So when he's writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received," that calling to service. Live that kind of life. You have a calling. Let's just take a step back for a second to make sure that we're all on the same page here. In lots of churches today, and in fact in lots of churches throughout history, there is a kind of silly idea that only certain people, like pastors or missionaries, have a calling. I remember when I was going through the ordination selection process, being asked, "When did you get the call?" And when that idea sets in, that only pastors or missionaries or some special group of people have the call, the church is dead. I'm reading a book at the moment by a guy called Greg Ogden. One of the things he does is distinguish between the pastor-centered church and the people-centered church. He says that in the pastor-centered church, the way that it works is that the pastor's job is to do the ministry, and the people's job is to come out and watch the pastor doing things so that the pastor can feel good. Now, how daft is that? Because that is completely the opposite of what that reading from 1 Peter 4 said, the one that I read at the beginning. Everybody has a gift and a role. So what about that reading from Ephesians, the other one I read at the beginning, which seems to list the special jobs that clergy do, you know, prophet, apostle, pastor, evangelist, teacher. The purpose of those roles that Paul mentions, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, is to equip everyone else in the church to do their ministry and fulfill their calling. It's like the sign on the front of church buildings that tells you the minister and the assistant minister. If ever we have one of those, maybe we will on the new building, it will say, "Minister, every member of the church. Assistant minister, Reverend Ian Gray." Because that's all I am. Now, I know I've said this sort of thing before, but we've got generations of bad church tradition to break through here. There is a myth that the call is a kind of mystical, dramatic event in someone's life. It might be a dramatic event, but usually it's not. Usually it is a process of learning how God made you and of having that uniqueness affirmed by the people around you. God has given you spiritual gifts. His plan is for the church to be led by leaders, taught by teachers, administrated by administrators, shepherded by people with shepherding gifts, comforted by people with mercy gifts, and so on. It is simply the most brilliant organizational plan ever conceived. Now, there is an obvious question that follows that, which you might be asking yourself, which is, so what are my spiritual gifts? Not mine, yours. And that is a really important thing to work out. And over the next week or two, we're going to be looking more into that, hopefully to help you discover your own spiritual gifts if you've never learned. Part of your calling to serve God involves your spiritual gifts. Part of it involves your passions. Every one of us has distinctive wirings. There is something, a cause, a group, whatever it is, that makes your heart beat really fast. I saw a cartoon once. There were two doctors dancing around like crazy, snapping their fingers, kicking up their legs. And then a third doctor was holding a stethoscope, I can't say that word, talking to a patient. And he said, yeah, I have some bad news and I have some good news. The bad news is that you have an irregular heart rhythm. The good news is that the beat is just irresistible. And there's something about that picture that I like. There is something that makes your heart beat. There is a cause or a challenge that, at the use of a gift, something that makes your heart beat, and it's irresistible. Your calling to serve God is based on your gifts, based on your passions, and it's comprehensive. It involves your whole life. It involves serving here in this body, in this church, if you're a follower of Jesus, and this is where you make your church your home, or in Newcastle, or in Australia, or wherever it is that is your home church. Whether you are paid to do so, like me, or whether you are a volunteer. And let's just settle one thing right now. Sometimes you hear people in churches say things like this: I'm just a volunteer, or I'm just a layperson. Let's make sure we never say things like that here. For any one of you to give your time, to give your effort, to devote your spiritual gifts, to pray and serve and honor God under any circumstances, let alone free of charge with no paycheck involved, that serving should never, ever have the word just in front of it. That's the kind of servanthood the church is built on. That's the kind of servanthood that God will one day reward by saying, well done, good and faithful servant. That is what has enabled the church to endure and prevail for over 2,000 years in all kinds of impoverished settings. So let's just make a deal. No one is ever allowed to say, I'm just a volunteer. I'm just a church member. Your serving in the body is part of your calling. Your serving is even more comprehensive than that. Serving your neighborhood is part of your calling. You serving where you work, wherever that is, that's part of your calling, to bring the kingdom into that place. Your serving at home is part of your calling. It may not feel very glamorous. That doesn't matter. It's part of your calling. I had the story of one woman who is a full-time stay-at-home mum. And people would sometimes ask her, what do you do? And we all know that whether consciously or subconsciously, society sometimes has a slight level of condescension and put down to people who aren't in a paid career. So this mum has developed a response that reflects her understanding of what she actually does while she's at home as a calling. She says, I am socializing two Homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian traditions so that they can be equipped to become agents for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God had in mind from the beginning of time. Then she'll ask them, so what do you do? She has a calling. Your calling is part of all your life. We want to be about that. you've all seen the film Chariots of Fire. I know it was a few years ago now, but I'm sure you'll remember it. There's one great scene where Eric Liddell is talking to his sister Jenny and explaining why he has to run. Let's see if this clip will work.
I've decided. I'm going back to China. The missionary service have accepted
me. Oh, Eddie. Oh, I'm so pleased.
But I've got a lot of running to do first. Jenny, you've got to understand. I believe that God made me for a purpose. For China. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. To give it up would be to hold him in contempt. You were right. It's not just fun. To win is to honour him.
Must be one of the most quoted lines from that film. God made me fast. When I run, I feel his pleasure. Apparently Eric Liddell never actually said that. It's a bit of artistic license from the screenwriters, but it doesn't make it any less of a great quote. And what I'd like for all of us is to be able to fill in that sentence for ourselves. God made me fill in the blank. When I fill in the blank, I feel his pleasure. That isn't just an idle whim. That is a really important part of our growth, individually and together as a church family. Some of you may already know what those blanks are for you. For some of you, working that out can be a process that takes place over a period of time. Whatever it is for you, when you are doing what he's called you to do, there are moments when you experience the presence of God in your life in a way that you never do at any other times, because God made you that way. God made you whatever it is. And when you do what it is he's called you to do, fill in that blank, you feel God's pleasure. And when everyone in a church starts to live that way, wow. Something happens in us when we serve, because we have a calling. Your life is about a calling. It's not about scratching out a living or paying off a mortgage or building up a CV. You have been called. Maybe God is speaking to you today about a new way of serving. And we're going to spend the next week or two learning how God has gifted us, how he has given us passions. Maybe God is going to call you to a new area. Maybe it's within the church. Maybe it's a job change. And you just want to say yes to that. In a minute, we're going to come around the Lord's table for communion. And what we're doing here is remembering how Jesus himself served. How everything he did as a human being was about being a servant. Serving his Father, but also serving you and I. And the ultimate expression of that is what we're remembering here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that call that you have issued to each person here, each person on this planet. You are calling us for a purpose and a plan. And each person's calling is unique, because we are all that important to you and to your plans and your purposes. Thank you for the way that you call us to be your children. Thank you for the way that you call us to belong to your family. And today, Lord, we thank you for the way that you call us to serve. Father, open our eyes and our hearts to a fresh understanding of what that means. Help us to listen for what it is that you're asking us to do and what ways you're calling us to serve you. And may we respond eagerly. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.